Proverbs chapter 3. And reading the first 26 verses, the text for the sermon is the verses 5 and 6. Proverbs 3, verse 1, this is God's inspired word. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Thus far, we read, the text is verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Beloved congregation, the word that we consider this evening is a well-familiar and well-beloved precious word for all circumstances and for all times. It has been chosen and used as the text for just about every occasion in life. It has been used on the occasion of high school graduation. It has been used on the occasion of many a wedding. It has been used on the occasion of baptism, of confession of faith, even of the ordination of ministers for the ministry. Today we consider it under the circumstances that the Protestant Reformed churches in America find themselves in April 2024. Not least of which, among many circumstances, not least of which is this: the urgent need for ministers, made now even a little more urgent and a little more critical by a very sad event that had unfolded among us in recent weeks. Great is the need for pastors in the Protestant Reformed churches in America. We see and we feel that need everywhere. We're reminded of that. We see and we feel that need for ourselves. Yes, we're not vacant, we're filled, but we see that need for ourselves, especially when our pastors go off on classical appointments. We also see that need for family. This being a close-knit denomination with many connections, family, extended family, and as well for friends and brothers and sisters in the Lord throughout the churches. 80 more families are now without a pastor in the past 2 weeks. Under such circumstances, our minds can't help but ask the question, what is going to happen next? What will the future hold for us as Protestant Reformed churches in America? And so, this makes our consideration of this Word of God most timely and needful. For there is no better counsel, and there is no better way for us to order our thoughts and to conduct our lives than to put our trust in Jehovah. We'll take the time, first of all, this evening to see that this counsel of God is a blessed counsel. And then second, note that to add clarity to it, God also prescribes the manner in which we are to trust in Him. That is, completely, wholeheartedly, in every way. In so doing, we'll see third and finally that he gives us to enjoy a most reassuring promise, one to take with us, especially when we are fearful and anxious for our future, which is this, that he himself, who so loves us, will be there for us and with us to direct our paths. God's counsel concerning our future. Notice with me, first of all, a blessed counsel. Secondly, its prescribed manner. And thirdly, a reassuring promise. The Word of God we consider tonight gives a blessed counsel for us concerning our future. And it is very simply this, something so simple our children can understand. Trust in Jehovah. That's it. Trust in Him. And how we need this counsel at every phase and occasion of life. For with regard to our future, who knows what that future will bring? Which of us knows what problems and experiences and challenges will arise in the future? And therefore, what we are to do when, not if, but when these problems and challenges arise. And still more, concerning our future, thinking about the future is one thing, and actually going into the future is another. And going into the future is never an easy thing. Going into our future is very much like walking into the unknown. It's like walking into a dark room, a room with no windows, a room with no lights, walking into a dark room, having the door shut behind, not being able to see anything around us at all, and not being able to see what's lying ahead of us. We can't see anything. We simply can't see. And right away, when that's the circumstance we find ourselves in, all kinds of doubts, all kinds of fears, all kinds of worries arise within our hearts. When placed under such circumstances, our natural inclination is, as the text spells out, to lean unto our own understanding, which is, of course, just the exact opposite of what God's blessed counsel is, to put our trust in Jehovah. For what exactly does it mean to lean unto our own understanding? It means this: to trust in ourselves, and in particular, our knowledge and our understanding apart from God and not in Him. That's the meaning. That's the meaning, because the phrase, lean not unto thine own understanding, is set forth in parallel to and in direct contrast to the first half of the text. I remind us, verse 5 reads, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's the first half of the verse. And then the second half, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So that the second and the first are set in parallel. And what is our understanding but the taking of our own limited earthly knowledge apart from God, and comprehending that knowledge with our own limited earthly capacities apart from a true heartfelt faith? Examples of this abound in Scripture, both with unbelievers and Esau's in the church, as well as with believers too. Many examples there are in Scripture, and for our purpose this evening, two examples will do, one from the Old Testament and the other from the New. First, from the Old Testament, think of Jacob, who deceived his father in order to steal the birthright blessing from his brother Esau. He was trying to help God out. When it seemed to him that God needed help, he was trying to help God out based on his own understanding. And then in the New Testament, you think of the Apostle Peter, who thought and announced that he was better than all the other disciples, thinking that he would be faithful to Jesus in the crucial hour when they wouldn't, thinking that he will stand strong on his own strength. These men were leaning unto their own understanding. Now understand that the Holy Spirit is being very vivid in describing this act of trusting in ourselves and our understanding. Focus on the word lean for a moment. There is a figure here being alluded to by that word, lean. You think of a man who is leaning upon a support. Only that the support now is not a strong pillar, not even a sturdy cane or a walking stick, but think now that he is leaning upon a piece of straw. What is the result of one who decides to lean upon something so flimsy and weak? A fall. A terrible fall. And that's exactly what happens to us when we trust in ourselves and our understanding. We fall flat on our faces. Trusting in ourselves gets us into all kinds of trouble, all kinds of fear, all kinds of worry, all kinds of sleepless nights and guilt. Now think once again of the Apostle Peter, who had a terrible fall. He had a terrible fall when he put his trust and confidence in himself, that he would be different from the other disciples. Our Lord proved him wrong, didn't he? For Peter not only denied his Lord once, but three times, as our Lord had said. Well, let's understand, beloved, that at bottom, trusting in ourselves and leaning unto our own understanding is simply this: unbelief. And unbelief is a sinful disease of our old man that will ever remain with us till the day we die. Our calling is to put it off, and so as long as we shall live, we cry, and we must cry as the one did in Scripture, "I believe, help thou my unbelief." The counsel that God gives us is to trust in Him, and it is a blessed counsel. It is blessed because this counsel is the cure for unbelief and all the troubles that come along with it. It is blessed because this is the only way to be truly happy. We learn that from Proverbs 16, verse 20. That verse reads, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." A person deals with a matter wisely when he trusts in the Lord. And when he trusts in the Lord, he shall be happy. This is God's blessed counsel. It is the one and only blessed way to proceed in life. Trust in Him, says the text. The focus here, of course, is not on the bond of faith, but rather on the activity of faith. The activity of faith, as we well know it from our catechism in Lord's Day 7, of a certain knowledge and an assured confidence. A certain knowledge, a knowing that the Bible, all 66 books of the Bible, all its instruction, its admonitions, its promises, its rebukes and warnings, every one of them is God's inspired, infallible, and authoritative word. That's the certain knowledge. And then embracing with confidence that all that it says with regard to salvation, all its instruction, all its admonition, all its rebukes, promises and warnings apply to me, personal you, and personal me. This is a knowing and confiding in Him that's trusting in Him. Or, flip it around, that's leaning on Him. And when we lean on Jehovah, He is the immovable, strong support that will never waver. Lean on Him and lean on Him alone. Receive His counsel, receive His wisdom, and reject the wisdom and counsel of our flesh and of the world. And grow. Grow in this. Learn and continually learn throughout all life, even when you are older. Christians never and must never stop learning. Learn even when you're older from His word and ways. Be humble. Learn and be diligent to apply that word more richly and in every sphere of life, and with regard to all of our future and all that it may bring. For this instruction here, you understand, is not merely advice. Some people take the word counsel to mean just advice, that is, take it or leave it. No, it's not merely advice. This is also our calling. And that comes from the fact that there are three key words in the imperative in the original. Trust, lean not, acknowledge. All these are commands. Trust in the Lord, that's a command. Lean not unto your own understanding, that's a second command. Acknowledge Him in all thy ways. Do not lean on your own understanding. Acknowledge, confess Him, trust Him, obey. Trust and obey. For that is indeed the way of true happiness, as Proverbs 16 verse 20 says. And how true indeed, therefore, are the words of that well-familiar biblical hymn. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. This calling of us to live our lives trusting in Him is so important that it appears throughout the pages of Holy Writ from cover to cover. And it is especially emphasized in one chapter of the Bible. Children at Catechism, do you know which chapter I speak of? The chapter of faith? That's right, Hebrews chapter 11, where God has us behold the many lovely exemplary acts of faith by the heroes, Old Testament heroes of faith, put under great and testing circumstances. Trust in Jehovah as Noah himself built the ark, as he persevered 120 years to build that colossal structure without one drop of rain falling from the sky, with people all around him mocking him instead of helping him. Trust in him as Noah trusted the Lord as he built the ark. Trust in the Lord as Abraham, who obeyed when God called him to pack his bags, to leave his homeland in the Ur of Chaldees. That's what Abraham did. And that's what Abraham did, not knowing where his final destination would be. He packed his bags and he took his family and his belongings with him on a long, long travel, having to be led and guided by the Lord each step of the way, every day of his life. Trust in Jehovah, even as Rahab the harlot did, and others, including the unnamed, unsung heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And note also the prescribed manner of the trust that we are to give unto Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And then verse 6, in all thy ways, acknowledge, that is, confess, implying trust Him. The prescribed manner is twofold: with all thine heart and in all thy ways. First, with all thine heart. What is the heart? The heart is the very core and center of our being. It's much like an army's command and control center, where the officers are stationed, where military inputs are received and then analyzed, and then instructions and orders are given out onto the field for the soldiers, where to move, how many of them to go to this place and that place over there. It's as in Proverbs 4 verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Out of our heart then flows forth thoughts to our mind, And accordingly, direction is given to where our hands and our feet go, what priorities we give, what choices we make in life. All of our life, its concerns, its priorities, its values, its choices have their origin and direction from our hearts. And so when our enemy, the devil, attacks us, he'll attack our hearts through our minds. This is why the ministry of God's word that speaks to our minds must needs, first of all, be directed to the heart and then applied to the heart for there to be true, deep, lasting impression and change upon our lives. That being the case, beloved, I ask you as I ask myself, are you taking God's word to heart? For understand that the prescribed manner is with all thine heart. Half-heartedness will not do. Whole-heartedness is what the Lord seeks for and requires. And because the heart is the command and control center of our entire being, trusting in God with all our hearts involves and affects our whole and entire being. Not only our heart, but from there also our mind, our soul, our will. And still more, God's prescribed manner of our trusting in Him is to be applied in all, to all our ways. That's what the text says plainly. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And all is all. This is an all-comprehensive scope. It covers every sphere of life, every department of life. It covers church membership. Young people, it covers dating, marriage, and family. What jobs and careers you seek for. It covers how you conduct yourself at school, the friends that you choose to make and not to make, the language that we speak. No stone is left untouched. Here, every single aspect of our lives is included here. In a word, trust in Him completely. Be completely committed to Him and His Word. His Word, His ways, His wisdom, His precepts, and not our Word, our ways, our precepts, our wisdom, our anything. Beloved, is that you? Does that describe you this evening? Are you applying this calling to every sphere and every department of your life? Are you sure? Or are you holding your own in one area of life, your little castle, encircling one area of life in which you forbid God's word to have its sway upon you? Is it dating? Is it your job? Is it a relationship? God's word says to you and to me, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and in all thy ways. Acknowledge Him. Confess Him. Trust in Him. Put Him and not yourself first. In all your ways. What is the reason for this? Why? Well, let's break down that question, why, into two parts, two whys here. Why number one would be this. Why is God so demanding, insisting that we trust Him so completely and absolutely? Why? And then why number two? Why can He be so trusted and relied upon? First, why is God so demanding? Why? The answer? Because He has every right to do so. He has absolute right to do so. Because He is God. And we are not. He is God and we are but His creatures. He is the Creator God who is made of no one, who made all things in heaven and on earth. He is the one who spake and it was done, who commanded and it stood fast. He is the one who has given life to us and to all His creation and creatures so that in Him we live and move and have our being. He is the great, all-powerful, infinite, almighty Creator God, and we are but His creatures. Small, very small, finite, weak, limited creatures, and dependent upon Him in every way. Therefore, He being the great and sovereign Creator God that He is, has the right to call and command us unto anything, including a total, complete, absolute trust in Him. Beloved, let's remember and let's always remember, especially when we're going through trials and troubles, who He is and who we are. Who He is and who we are. Now for the second why. Why can He be so trusted and relied upon? Answer: because He is the Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. That's the name used here in our text. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Jehovah. That's His covenant name. And that's a name conveying in particular His not only His covenant friendship, but more broadly and deeply His profound love for us. So putting it together, why? So trust in and rely on Him because He is our sovereign friend with a capital F. There is no greater friend than Him, Him who is our covenant God. And if you ask reverently, children, how does He know that? How do I know that? I will simply point you to the proof of His friendship and love. The gift, the ultimate gift and sacrifice of His own beloved Son on the cross for you and for me, for the forgiveness of sins and for life eternal. Yea, indeed, He is our Heavenly Father for Christ's sake. So, beloved, trust in Him. Trust in Him so completely and rely so entirely upon Him. Put your weight, lean completely in on him. And so if you have come to church with burdens and cares in your heart this evening and today concerning your future, the future of your family, the future of a family member, future of extended family member, friends, brothers and sisters whom you care for, then I say, cast that burden, that care, indeed, all your burdens and cares upon him. For he careth for you. This able God, able to handle your burden and care, cares for you. So trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not fret. Do not worry. Commit your way to him. Delight in him. Rest in him and his precious word, especially his promises. In the great love and perfect wisdom of Jehovah, he supplies us with a most reassuring promise to the command he gives us in the text. And that promise is found at the end of verse 6, that he shall direct thy paths. This applies then to our future, and I mean every and any aspect of it. And so to the question, who knows what will befall me? Who knows what might befall my family, my friends in the future? The answer we give as mere mortals, but believers, is this: I don't know, but this I know. I put my trust in him, and therefore I fear not. Fear not, for he is with us. Listen to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 43. But now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. He himself, Jehovah, our covenant God, will lead and guide us with regard to our future. Remember that dark room? The room which we can't see anything around us or ahead of us? We have no fear because he's holding our hand in that dark room, and he's leading and guiding us every step of the way in safety, directing our path. We have no reason, beloved, to fear and to worry because he calls us by our name. And that name is Israel, corporately or church, and individually, beloved. You are my beloved. We have no reason to worry and fear because even in the midst of dangers, he is with us. So not a hair can fall off from our heads except that he wills it and wills it for our good. We have no reason to worry or to fear because even in the midst of dangers, he is with us, he is for us, and he calls us ever and always, holding our hand, to trust in him. Would we have it any other way? Beloved, we have no reason to fear. For who is he? He is our covenant God, the maker of heaven and earth. He is our faithful Father for Christ's sake, who loves you and who loves me with perfect love. The proof of that love and guarantee of our safety and victory is none other than the precious blood of his Son. This absolutely sovereign, this all-powerful God gave us his Son. What good, then, will he withhold from us? What will prevent us from being kept safe? We are in his hands, and he will lead and guide us all through life. This, therefore, is the most comforting and reassuring promise. With him leading and directing all the paths of our lives, we have no fear. May this precious promise give us precious incentive to trust in him with all our hearts and to acknowledge him in all our ways. Amen. Lord, bless this word. Are there any who do not trust in thee? Work in the hearts of these ones to trust thee. And for all we who trust thee, deepen our trust in thee. Help us, therefore, not to be fearful or worried and anxious, but help us to rest in the wonderful knowledge that thou art holding our hand and thou art directing our paths all through life, even at this time in our lives. Hear us, bless us, and forgive our sins. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.